There we go.
Oh, man. We already started laughing.
Yeah.
Before we...
We're professionals.
All right. So I was watching the news, dude. Oh, yeah. About that. We're kind of hungry, guys. You might hear us snacking a little. And so I was watching the news, right?
Right.
And I could have swore CNN was reporting on Rush Week.
Rush Week.
Yeah.
Like in college?
Yeah. Right? Like in college? Yeah, those places.
They call it?
Yeah.
This fictional place they speak of?
Yeah, where Harry Potter got his stick.
What's Rush Week look like at Hogwarts?
I don't know, but like, I'd imagine they're not that attractive.
It was like a Gryffindor paddle.
Anyways. Oh, but they were fucking talking about the COVID variants. It was like Alpha, Omega, Abracadabra, Ose, Ole, Mu. I thought right out the bat.
Yeah, nice.
Sorry, guys. How many people change? Sorry, semen.
Yeah, they jump out right. Yep. Gross, man.
Did this show fall off the fucking rails yet, dude?
Probably. So it's just like the Greek symbols?
Yeah, I guess so, right?
So where does it end?
I don't know. There was Omega. Alpha, Omega, beginning, end, right?
Is Omega the end?
I think so.
Does it follow the letters? Like,
I don't know if Alpha and Omega is ABC order. Well, that is ABC order, but I don't know the other. Is it ABC order?
Isn't there a Zeta?
There's got to be. I remember Xena.
Yeah.
The Social Nuisance Podcast.
Oh, shit. Okay, bitches. You guys are going to be mind blown.
Oh, we're going to town.
Town.
We're going to town. They're podcasting.
We're podcasting right now.
Social Nuisance.
Social Nuisance Podcast. How you guys doing?
Welcome to Pound Town. Yeah, awesome.
Social Nuisance Podcast. Hello and welcome to the Social Nuisance Podcast, your weekly discussion of all things current requiring further insight, opinions, questions, and otherwise kick-in-your-face perspectives towards the betterment of humanity. Subscribe and leave us a 5-star review on iTunes or wherever you're listening to help Pound Town grow. And get in on the conversations by liking our Facebook page and following us on Instagram at Social Nuisance Podcast. And if you really support all that we do, become a short sponsor and we'll advertise or shout out whatever you want just by dropping a dollar in the Venmo at Social Nuisance. My name is Imagine, and joining me as always, the only man who I know actually enjoyed the Hercules series more than Xena, Warrior Princess.
Yeah.
Motion.
What was his name?
Kevin Sorbo.
Jesus Christ, you had that ready.
I had it, dude. I used to love watching those stupid series back
to
back.
They were, right? And they were back to back, huh?
Yeah, you watched Hercules and then you watched Xena Warrior Princess.
Yeah.
Lucy Lawless.
Did
Kevin Sorbo.
He led into Lucy Lawless, or did she lead into him?
No. Xena was a spinoff.
Yeah. But she was on TV first, and then he was like the headliner, I thought. Like, no, she was like the 8 o'clock and he was the 9 o'clock.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think so.
Do you remember they did? Oh, yeah, she was. They did a cross episodes too, like towards the end.
Yeah.
And then she had that little white assistant.
Danielle. You know, yeah, man. I had a huge crush on Danielle.
Jesus, man. I don't know when the last time I thought about these bitches was.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, earlier today.
I don't know her real name. I just remember Danielle.
Danielle. It was Janine Garofalo.
Sure. did not have a crush on Janine Garofalo.
I did.
Really?
Was she Darla?
No.
Daria?
Daria.
Yeah.
Was she Daria? I think she was.
Yeah, she was Daria, right? I think that's back when I was more into personalities. Now it's like, ass and titties, you know?
No,
I'm over ass and titties. I'm back into personalities.
Okay, back to personalities.
Yeah, the last one didn't work out.
Yeah, you know, I think I went through the same phase.
Yep.
I'm here for the tits and ass.
Character. Now I'm looking for character.
Yeah.
And by the way, which one of y'all got credit?
I need to know, first and foremost.
I want the Carfax.
There should be a questionnaire.
Yeah.
Yeah, Carfax.
Yeah.
There should be a Carfax for dating.
Mind you, I put my finger up like listeners are watching.
Yeah.
Not allowed to ask for mine.
Okay.
It's far too long. Far too long. I get by on personality, character, and charm.
Mostly charm.
Mostly.
Yeah.
You, I need your history.
Yeah.
Because unless you're as charming as me, I gotta see what I'm gonna deal with.
Show me the Carfax.
I don't want to find out later. That's a good bit. There's material there, man.
Oh, there's definitely material
there. We got to work that out.
Patent Penny. Write that shit down.
Patent Penny. Somebody tweeted at me, please. I'm busy.
Yeah.
You know what I was thinking? I wonder if it would be entertaining if you and I were to create a, like...
Yes.
Thanks.
You son of a bitch, I'm in.
Don't worry, I have so much fun today. I already feel it. I'm giddy. Dude, I needed this fucking week. Yeah, get a snack, dude. Help yourself. You want me to go make Hot Pockets? Huh.
Love Hot Pockets.
You guys still listening? Anyways. So what I was thinking was how funny it would be that if, like, and mind you, every bit that we come up with, we never follow through with it. We were supposed to do origin stories. We never did that. That's the only one that I remember offhand.
Yeah.
But if I were to come up with a random true life, or like a real life person, current or past, doesn't matter, that I wanted to like interview, and then you had to be that character and answer as them, but you had no heads up. So like, pretend we came in next week, and I was just like, oh, I got some questions with Kevin Sorbo.
Oh, yeah.
And then you had to be Kevin Sorbo, and then I had to ask, and you had to like...
Like off the cuff.
Off the cuff, dude.
Oh, my God. That'd be hilarious.
And then you come up with the character.
That would be...
Or just... you not come up with... You pick a person. Are you down, dude?
Yeah, that'd be fucking funny.
All right, let's do it. We'll do it next week.
Okay, cool.
All right, that way we have some time to put some thought into it.
Oh, my God. Who do I want you to portray?
Uh-huh. Oh, what about listener suggestions?
Oh, listener suggestions. There you go.
All right, listener suggestions. As you submit your suggestion, we'll put it up on IG, too. You not only have to say your suggestion, but you have to pick who you would want to be that suggestion. You'd have to say, I would like imagine to be so-and-so. And then if you're thoughtful enough, suggest one for motion too. But if you only got one for the one of us, or put it up there. Just make sure you...
Or to keep it fair, because I'm going to see all of it.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Well, I was hoping I would see it too.
Well, if you'd log in, yeah. Mm. But to keep it like fun, just throw out names, right?
Just characters?
Yeah, characters.
Or people, yeah, real people though, not characters.
Yeah, real characters, people, whoever.
Yeah.
The people you want us to portray.
Huh?
We'll put all those names in a hat.
Oh, no way.
And then we'll just pull a name out of the hat.
And we're going to go rando?
Yeah, rando.
Oh my God, let's do it.
This is going to be a train wreck. I can't
imagine. This is like every time we think it's going to be cool to do a live show. Not that it's not cool to do a live show, but and interview.
Yeah.
And every time we give someone the mic, we go, what the fuck? That was a fun bit we used to do when you used to interview people, and then I would be in the back because they couldn't hear me because of the headphones. I'd be like, this fucking guy, oh my God.
Those are fun.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it.
Those are fun.
Yeah. How's your week?
How was yours, bro? I actually had a wonderful weekend. I had a great time with my new circle of friends-ish.
Right on.
So, I had a great time doing that and going forth with what I had to start and finish. And as far as, like, you know, there's life. You know what I found out?
What?
I think there's people who want me to, like, go down that listen to this fucking, this show. Sometimes I'll say something, right? Like, the reality is, look, we're in the studio. The fucking window's all covered up. There's, like, a dim, it almost looks like you're investing, where were you on the night of February 22nd, 1990? You know what I mean? Yeah, kind of environment.
That's what we're going for. Yeah.
And I just feel like it's me and you talking. Yeah. We got fucking snacks. You know, we got beers. We're hanging out. Thanks. I forget the headphones are on my head because I wear headphones all day, every day.
True.
And I just start spilling my guts, dude.
You're welcome, listeners.
Yeah, right? Drop a dime in the Venmo.
Yep.
And then, like, sometimes some shit will get around. I'll just be like, that's not fucking... How do you even know that? Like, I didn't tell anybody that. Like, no, yeah, you told 10,000 people last week, bro.
Fair enough.
So I got to be careful. I got to be more careful about... I got a lot of irons in the fire, bro.
Thought a lot of irons in the fire.
A lot of irons in the fire. How was your week, man?
It was cool. So it kind of bring up so we did a couple segments, a couple episodes ago. We did a segment called "Am I the Asshole?" Derived from the Reddit, thread. I have one. Am I the asshole?
Okay.
And it's me. Am I asshole?
Uh huh.
Okay. So go to a pool party.
All right.
For a very close relative of mine, and the relative. We don't see very often, but, you know, they're relatives, so we want to make sure that they're involved in life.
Yeah.
They want to be involved with my son and my wife and me and some other relatives that are close to me. We all went.
Okay.
For this one relative. And initially, it was just going to be like a pool party. But then it turned into like, hey, let's turn it into a birthday party for this relative since you guys don't really come over very often. Let's just make it a birthday party.
Okay. And this is a second separate relative? Or it's the... The person who invited you made it their own birthday party later.
No, separate person.
Okay.
Separate person decided, hey, let's make it a birthday party for that relative. So I was like, oh, yeah, cool. Okay, cool. So I bring a cake. I bring the gift. I bring my family.
Uh-huh.
We're all here. We're having a good time. We are here to support this person and, you know, show some love. So we're all having a good time. Yada, yada, yada. later on in the day, we don't want to go in the pool anymore. It's starting to get kind of cold.
Okay.
So we're like, hey, you know what? We're kind of done with the pool stuff. So we're just going to hang back. We're done getting wet.
Yeah.
And then the relative that we're all here for starts to get a little bit out of pocket and was like, yeah, can we get in the water? You know, everything's great. And I'm like, nah, we're done. We're good.
Real quick, with or without alcohol?
I think alcohol was not
a factor.
Extremely flowing.
Okay.
But enough.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
Enough was flowing to inhibit good decision making.
Yeah. All right. Got it.
Yeah.
Thanks.
So at that point, we're saying, hey, we're kind of done. We don't want to get wet anymore. And then this person continues to wet me, but they're closer to me than they are to my wife. And
like playfully?
Playfully. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Their love language is teasing.
But all right, gotcha.
Yeah, their love language is like, I'm gonna tease you, I'm gonna pick on you because I'm close enough with you that I can fuck with you.
Yeah,
I can tolerate that. Mm-hmm. That's the relative. That's just what it is. So I'm like, okay, cool, whatever, man. Hey, can you please don't do that anymore? I'm telling you, stop. I'm clearly saying, stop wetting me.
Yeah,
I'm not enjoying myself. Please stop wetting me.
Yeah.
So they change target, and the target then becomes my wife.
Oh, that's
who at this point is like, hey, the whole duration, I'm not going to get in the water today. I don't want to get wet. I brought my bathing suit, but you know what? I decided not to.
Yeah.
I'm good. I'm just going to hear with the baby. I'm going
to
play.
And remember, women, especially beautiful women,
sure,
have to pick up on different vibes.
Yeah.
When they go to something like that, they might have been willing to and then go, nah, you know, I feel a little bit weird about something. I'm just going to hang back.
That's exactly what happened.
Okay.
So she decided, no, I'm just going to hang up. Cool. We're still here. We're present. We're having a good time. I'm just not going to get wet.
Yeah.
So then the relative then points one of those like, spray
the one you
shooters.
Pull back in the water,
yeah,
and then push forward out of
the water.
Water.
Yeah, exactly that fucking thing. Yeah, that fucking thing. And then he's been wetting me with that.
Yeah.
So, then changes targets to my wife, and then another relative was like, "Oh, you don't have the fucking guts to do it." And my wife is just sitting there like, "What is happening?"
Okay, I think there's a couple assholes involved.
And then all of a sudden it goes,
yeah,
all over her, and I'm just like, "Okay, you're an asshole."
Yeah.
You're an asshole, and I told you to stop. You didn't stop, and now you wet someone who clearly said they didn't want to get wet.
And barely knows you.
Haven't been wet the entire time.
Yeah.
You're an asshole. We're leaving.
Yeah.
And I called the person an asshole, like, in front of their friends, who they invited, and so on and so forth. So they felt a little embarrassed. Their ego was definitely, you know, cut a little bit.
Yeah.
But I didn't care.
Yeah.
Like, I told you, don't wet us.
Yeah.
And then you wet me, and then you wet my wife, who, again, clearly said, do not wet me.
Yeah.
I do not want to get wet. Please don't.
Didn't get wet on her own accord.
Right.
Let alone, gave permission for someone else.
Correct. And then got wet.
Yeah.
So, not just wet, like a cannonball.
No.
And you were, like, in the splash zone. Specifically targeted wet. And I was like, fuck this. We're out of here.
You know
what? We came out here to have a good time. We're leaving. This is bullshit. So we fucking left. I said goodbye to them. I allowed my son to say goodbye to them. Still say, hey, like, hey, we're leaving under bad pretenses.
Yeah, but goodbye.
We're saying goodbye.
Yeah.
And
We're
not storming out. We're leaving. We'll pick this up another time. This is not, I'm never fucking talking to you again.
Yeah.
This is, hey, you know what?
Yeah, this is the end of this day.
Yeah, we're done with this day.
It's not the end of days.
Exactly.
Got it.
So then we left. That person has refused to talk to me. For about a week now.
Oh.
Yeah. I tried to text. Just today.
You know what?
Dropped by the house.
How many fucking times have I told you?
Yeah.
Since, like, how many times have I told you that you've saved this relationship by me thinking I was right about something?
Sure.
And that I'm just done. And then the next, me still making a fool of myself.
Sure.
And then the next day, you still going, hey, bro, we're not done. And then me going, thanks, I needed you to do that. I probably still would have did it.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't have done it next day.
That's fair.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so your ability to where you did no wrong.
Yeah.
To go and say, hey, the next day to check in. Like, and then for them to ignore you. Like, dude, I'm giving you a way out of this situation. Like,
precisely. Yeah.
So your question is, are you an asshole
for leaving
the party?
Am I the asshole for calling the relative out an asshole in front of everybody else at the party and then proceeding to leave? Not storming out, but backing up what I said. I said, I'm going to leave.
Judges?
Judge?
Not an asshole.
Not an asshole. Okay, cool.
No, that was actually the fastest they've ever responded.
Glad to know.
I will say, is that the person, the protagonist in this story, we would think is the guy with the water gun.
Right.
Or gal. Sorry, I don't know the story, so I'm not trying to point anyone out.
Sure.
But in my eyes, as a hockey fan, there's something called instigating a fight.
Oh, we do that all the time.
So, yeah, you and I.
Hit that bitch! Hit him!
Remember the guy was throwing up the last part of the bar? You're like, I gotta see this.
Yeah, that's true.
So, if you do a cheap shot on someone in hockey, there are enforcers that are forced to go defend their friend.
Right.
Both people catch penalties.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and actually in hockey, it's ass backwards. The guy who did the cheap shot, the other guy who comes over and fights him, the second guy gets instigating a fight charge. And it's like, I didn't instigate a fight. I fought. He instigated the fight.
Yeah.
So for sure, I should get the fight penalty. That third person that clearly knew they were talking to someone who only needs to be barely tapped to fall off that cliff.
Yep.
That's me in real life.
Yeah.
Someone goes, you won't fucking do that.
Yeah.
Dude, I didn't want to, but now it's like, you can't tell me you're not down. You tell me you're not down, I'm fucking killing someone.
Yeah, pretty much.
That third person, whoever the fuck that was, knows that that person would totally do it if they just got that little inch of support.
Just a little push.
There you go. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm kind of mad you didn't hang upside down when you told me that, because you nailed it, bro. You nailed the shit out that.
Thank you. That's my Heath. Yeah, so that person also, I spoke to their significant other and was like, hey, that person's not out of the water either. Like, they also share some blame in this.
Yeah.
So they equally get some blame, but...
I don't know if it's equal.
Not equal. They get some.
Yeah, absolutely.
No, they get some. I mean, the guy who...
Unless that person didn't know your relative and it just happened to be like if I was there, I don't know. Oh.
Yeah.
And I was like, you don't have the balls to do that. But I feel like they knew what they were saying.
Everyone who was in attendance relatively knew everyone, you know.
Knew their personalities.
Yeah, exactly. So at that point, I was like, okay, but... And it led me to a you-know-what. We're going out of order.
Let's skip around.
Yeah, let's go right to it.
Fuck it.
It led me to a you-know-what. You know what?
What's that?
You should never demand respect, but you should never tolerate disrespect.
Yeah.
From anyone. Never demand respect from anyone, but never tolerate disrespect from anyone.
Oh, you and I are going to disagree on this one part.
Oh, here we go.
And actually, you know what? We're not going to disagree.
Aw.
Because in my head, as a one-step parent, I think that you should demand respect. In order for the house to operate smoothly, you should demand respect.
Mm.
Okay? But I was slick about it. I was patient. I held back. I did everything right. And when the time came, the respect was there.
Yeah.
So... But I know that you've had, and I'm not saying you disrespect your stepfather, but I know you've had issues throughout life, and you and I kind of have different views on that because of that.
Yeah.
And so I don't know that you should, like, I feel like, you know what, you shouldn't, or maybe you should demand respect, but that you don't have to demand respect from who has to respect you. Maybe, like, that's a spouse thing. Like, hey, you need to get your kids in order for this house to operate smoothly.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Unless I'm fucking up, slipping and sliding, or hurting your kids.
Yeah.
Then that's a very necessary part for this machine to operate smoothly.
I agree. So I think there should be...
But that's a very different circumstance than what you described.
Yes and no. I think the environment of respect should always be present. So if you are providing respectful gestures, mm-hmm. conversations,
should be paid
so
back.
On and so forth, it should be reciprocated.
Mm-hmm.
However... Doesn't always go that way. So that's why I always say I will never demand respect, because I feel personally I'm always putting people in a position where I'm earning their respect.
Yeah.
I've never disrespected you. I've never done anything to mess with you or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
I've never done anything to trespass against you. So there's no reason for you to disrespect me.
Absolutely.
So because of that, I'm not going to demand respect from you, because if you want to respect me, that's great. Cool.
You know what? And this is kind of where we're different. In certain public spaces, if you publicly disrespect me,
yeah,
I'll earn your respect and I will demand it.
Yeah.
But like, if it's going to ever get to fisticuffs, like if you publicly disrespect me, I'll give you a chance to show me that you respect me in front of everybody before like one of us gets hurt.
Oh yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. I'll do the same thing.
I had a situation where we were at my house and we had friends over. And one guy was just being drunk and silly, and he kept disrespecting, at the time, my best friend's wife. I'm not friends with the guy anymore, but just kept disrespecting this poor girl over and over and over and over again. And he finally said one last thing, and I was in the bathroom, and I heard him say it, and I come out, I go, hey, man, here's the deal. You're going to, I'll give you an out. I'll let you act like you didn't say that again. Mm-hmm. But this is in front of everybody. But if you fucking talk to her like that again in front of me, I'm going to fuck you up.
Right.
Okay? I'm not telling you to say sorry.
Yeah.
Because I kind of feel like that was her husband's job and he wasn't doing it.
Yeah, it's true.
I go, but you're not going to disrespect, because I looked at her like a sister mm-hmm. in my fucking house. Don't do that shit again. I'm sorry I made it weird, everybody. It's on him what he wants to do now.
Yep.
And he goes, looks at her. Hey, I'm really sorry about that. Bobby, come give me a hug. Cool. That's your out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I demanded respect in that space. Not even for me, for her.
Well, I don't think you demanded respect. I think you provided an out.
Yeah. I think that's very important for people. I think if you give them no out, you really put them in a corner. Like if I was like, hey, man, you can't fucking talk. Then he has to get up and yell back. And right. then we have to fight.
Right. Right. So I think what you did was a respectful thing. You provided an atmosphere
yeah.
of respect, mutual respect, mm-hmm. or opportunity to pursue respect. And they took it, which yeah. is great. And that's why I say, you know, I'll never demand respect from anyone because I feel like I never have to demand it. I always provide it. It should be reciprocated. And if it's not reciprocated,
yeah.
the absence of respect is not disrespect.
Okay.
I want to make that very clear too. If you're not going to respect me, that's cool. You don't have to respect me.
You can be indifferent.
You can be indifferent. Correct. Absolutely. But blatant disrespect, that is not tolerated.
Well, how do you feel about this? If you're talking to someone and they ignore you.
I don't fucking care.
Is that disrespect?
No, that's an absence of
That's just respect. Indifference?
Indifference.
Okay.
I want to talk to you. Hey, what's going on? I had that today.
What if it's a kid?
Even more so.
What if it's a stepkid?
Fuck them kids.
What's a stepkid?
Same thing. I mean, yeah. Again, at least for me, at a young age, I became cognizant of what respect was because it was always demanded from me.
Okay.
And I was like, why am I just inherently going to respect you if you've done nothing to earn it? And all you tell me is like, oh, people got to earn your respect.
So I was,
you have to earn respect.
Oh yeah.
But then it's like, okay, but what has anyone done to earn my respect? They're just demanding it.
As much as a fucking knucklehead I've been my whole life, my parents, I was going to narrow it down to which one, but my parents both, it was pretty across the board. Respect your elders.
Right.
Yeah. You're gonna run into bad elders, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Naturally.
Across the board. Respect your elders. I would say as much trouble as I've gotten into, as hard-headed as I've been, and mistakes I've made, they're probably cut in half by the fact that I was always respectful to the elder.
Fair enough.
You know what I mean? Because you don't get in trouble by someone younger than you. So the fact that I was always respectful...
Well, yeah, you get in trouble. That's what happened to the relative. I'm younger than them, and they got in trouble with me.
Well, I mean, yeah, but they're not like... They're not like in detention. They're not... Getting a ticket from you, which that's weird because you can get pulled over by a younger cop, absolutely.
Yeah, they should be.
But they should be.
They should be in punishment from me, yeah.
Anyways, just don't say that on a podcast, but go ahead and write the name right here, down here on this piece of paper. I'll fucking take care of it for you, right?
Okay, got it. Yeah, no, thank you.
Remember The Breakup?
Vince Vaughn? I did not like that movie.
No? Okay, but you remember it.
Yeah, I do remember it. I don't like movies that have unnecessary confrontation. It's like, just fucking solve your confrontation already.
But
fuck.
But the thing is, that's so much stressful. What a breakup is. Ugh. It's like unsolved confrontation.
And it's so ridiculous.
What I was bringing up was the part where John Favreau's like,
nude.
No.
That's the only part I fucking remember.
I fucking miss that part. Jennifer Aniston's nude in it?
But she doesn't show anything, but it's implied.
Oh, well.
I think you see her butt from like fuzzy all far away.
I think that I implied her nudity when I saw her on Friends and I was 13 years old. So right. I don't need any more implications of her nudity.
Right.
But what I was getting at was the part when he's with John at the bar and John's like, oh, you want me to take care of her? He goes, no, I don't. Oh,
I remember that. That was funny.
Ever since that scene, I do that to my friends as often as I possibly can.
Just let me take care of this from here. Just write their name down. You do a wink thing. Yeah. Oh, yeah. She's going on vacation. Yeah. I got it.
Yeah. Goes, you better not take care of it.
Yeah.
Oh, and you have to say that.
That kind of like obvious wink. Like, I got it. Yeah.
Do you remember Mr. Bean?
Oh, yeah. Who doesn't know Mr. Bean?
He had a stand-up special.
Johnny English. Yeah.
And in his special, he didn't talk. It was narrated by a third party the whole time, right?
Nice.
And he tells this story about this guy who was cast out of town or whatever. And so in order for him to come back and take back what was his, he wore a disguise. And then Mr. Bean goes like this. And for listeners, all I'm going to do is put my hand over my eye. It's like this. He's like wearing an eye patch, right? That's his disguise.
Puts his hand over his eye.
And then he goes, he let everybody know it was him with a distinguished wink. And he's all, because the wink is under the eye patch. That was the only thing I remember from that whole special.
That's funny. That's the comedic genius of Mr. Bean.
Right? Dude. We're a little topic short. I saw a stand-up special that I kind of would like to shout out a little bit.
Sure.
But also, it opens with this bit that I've extrapolated since. And I just think it's fucking hilarious. And I would like to get your perspective on it.
Down.
All right. Cool background story. Yeah. I don't got a fake noise open beer, so I'll just do it for real in a minute. All right. Background story. This is Shane Gillis. Shane Gillis might sound familiar to you because he is the one who got fired before ever starting for Saturday Night Live last year on a podcast pretending to be a Chinese character.
Sounds familiar. Go ahead.
Funny, he got canceled before getting made.
Nice.
And then his reply to Saturday Night Live was, "You hired no Asians in 30 years. I'm the racist."
Huh.
Okay. But anyways, he started a YouTube channel where they do skits. It's called Gillian Keefe's. Highly recommended it. Okay. If you're easily offended, don't check it out.
Shane Gillis.
Yep, Shane Gillis. But yesterday he released, it's only been out 24 hours. It's got like 400,000 views.
Oh, wow.
His stand-up special, not his sketch. His sketch comedy is phenomenal, but the stand-up special is great.
Oh, okay. Okay.
You listen to me?
I'm seeing this guy, yep.
All right. He opens with this bit.
Okay.
And the gist of the bit is, I can't do it justice, but the gist of the bit is, can you imagine when the founding fathers were making the laws, okay? The first laws.
Yep.
They had to think of that shit. Yep. And some of them had to be harder than others. Yep. For instance, age of consent. How would you like to be like, I'm the representative from Rhode Island, and I think the age of consent should be 12. And everybody's like, ew, what the fuck? And he goes, I didn't want to go first. Why did you guys make me go first? How great a fucking bit. How would you ever think of that, dude? You know, there's certain times when I hear comedy, like, it's just like, I like to think that my thoughts are super original when I'm doing comedy.
Right.
Like, no one knows what I'm going to say next.
That is also very true. It's very dangerous.
Right? Yeah. But that, like, he's talking about the founding fathers.
Yeah.
Then he's talking about establishing law.
Yeah.
Then age of consent. At this point, I'm still not like, oh, I know where he's going.
Yeah.
You know? And then the guy's like, 12. And he's like, ew, fucking gross, dude. What's wrong with you? Like, I told you I didn't want to go first.
That's funny. And I think that's one of the genius things about comedy. When you do it really well, it's something that is a different spin. It's an honest perspective. And it shines a light to some of those difficult conversations.
Right?
That's what good comedy does.
Yeah.
I appreciate that for sure.
So my, like, well, okay, but I didn't want to talk about comedy. I'll talk about that second. But my thing is, when they were, like, what other, like, I couldn't think of, I literally couldn't come up with anything else like age of consent. Like, what other thing where it's just like somebody said that and everybody would just be like, fuck is wrong with Rhode Island? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I don't know.
Oh.
I just sprung it on you, so I don't expect you to have anything off the bat. But
bestiality.
Well, I think that's clearly illegal, right?
You would think.
But there was probably someone from Tennessee that was.
What are the things that we should not be fucking?
Yeah.
Tennessee.
Definitely not sheep.
Sheep, right? Sheep. The fuck? Where'd you get sheep from? I was talking about like people.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, people. Okay, yeah. Sheep over horses. Yeah, totally. Totally. I get what you're saying.
Even that, like the kinds of animals we can eat.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Imagine that. Like someone was there, like animals that should be allowed for eating.
Yeah.
And then the first person's like cats. And you're like, what the fuck? Can't eat a cat.
Not Mr. Meow Meow.
No. Meow Meow was the name of my cat when I was growing up. Yeah, no buddy. Joke. Swear to God.
Not Mr. Meow Meow.
Dude, I love Meow Meow. His brother's name was Shazam. I'm not joking. My uncle had Shazam. I had Meow Meow. They were the coolest cats we ever had in my life.
Sounds like a sitcom waiting to happen.
Oh my God. They won't give us a show.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, stuff like that. I mean, that's funny.
So, and then, all right. Wasn't as good a premise as I thought.
I thought it was.
It's tough. Thanks, man.
Yeah, you're welcome.
So, when I do comedy, the goal of comedy is misdirection, right? You lead them one way.
Yeah.
And then bow the other thing.
Yeah.
I think what Shane did in that special was he leads you the right direction the whole way and you still don't know where he's going.
That's fun.
You know what I mean?
Keeps you on the edge of your seat.
Dude, it's so good.
Yeah.
It was great. It's a good special. Highly recommended. Shane Gillis. I don't remember what it's called. Another special from... you know what I noticed? There's two types of comedians. Naturally funny and then ones that work really hard at it.
Okay.
Yeah. I think I'm in the middle of both.
Well, yeah.
But there's this comic, Giannis Pappas, works really hard at it.
Yeah.
Not naturally, like, witty.
Yeah.
He writes his, he does a 1-hour podcast every week by himself. His stand-up is great. But he had a special called Blowing the Light. Mm. You know, in comedy, the light. Your time's up. He literally was like, didn't tell anybody that he was going to record a special. Well, he told the owners, but none of the staff, none of the fans.
Yeah.
And then they had cameras like hidden, set up, and he just blows the fucking light. So he was supposed to do 15. He did an hour. And people are starting like, but
what's going on?
His comedy is so fucking well thought out.
Nice.
So Giannis Papas blowing the light. He does a bit in there about the only love story that hasn't been written in America. And it's about a couple who the girl decides to be trans and the man wasn't with it. So they break up, but the man realizes how much he misses her. So he goes trans so that he could be what she is because she's still straight.
Right.
But she's now the opposite. And then she missed him. So she goes back. And then now he can't be because he's not gay. He was just being trans to be with her.
Right.
And then so now, but the way he says it, he has it. It's one of those moments where you're just like, oh, he wrote every fucking word, rehearsed it, memorized it. Like,
yeah, he knew exactly what he was doing.
Exactly. It looks like he's speaking, but no, he had like the perfect words lined up.
Right.
So,
on.
Yeah, it's a great piece.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Appreciate that.
You have favorite comics?
Favorite comics? Robin Williams definitely comes to mind. I've always enjoyed watching.
You know the story about him, right? He would randomly steal people's jokes, but he would send them checks for $5,000 if he did.
No.
Yeah. So like he would like, you know, obviously a fan of comedy.
Sure.
If he was in a bit and someone else's joke fit there and the crowd was going, he would steal the joke.
Yeah.
And then you would just get a check for $5,000. Which.
Was that fair? Do you think?
For a starving comic? Yeah. You'd be like crossing your fingers that you should. This is what? When did he do stand up? 70s?
Oh, back then? I remember the only real stand-up comic that I saw with Robin Williams was when he did Broadway, like in 2000-something?
Oh.
2003?
Dude, once he became Mork and Mindy, he kind of stopped doing stand-up.
Yeah.
So he probably was doing like a return. Like a Will Ferrell type.
Yeah.
So back when he was doing it, before Mork and Mindy, he was making so much money doing comedy that if your joke fit there, and it, like, comics would get the check never knowing he stole their joke.
Oh, he just got a check from Robin. He was like,
Robin, $5,000.
He stole something.
Yep.
Whatever it was, that's cool.
It worked. Yeah, no problem. And mind you, before the internet.
Yeah.
So you could just steal a joke. That makes it even more, not integral, but more. There's more integrity behind it.
Yeah.
Because they were probably never going to find out. Mm. But still, hey, I used your shit.
Yeah.
Here's 5 G's.
Yeah, I wasn't always a huge fan of stand-up comedy.
Okay.
Coming up anyways. So, I mean, I really like George Lopez, Dave Chappelle.
Yeah.
You know, the usual headliners. But then when I started doing
the shows,
I would throw stand-up comedy shows that I would produce.
Shout out Ice House.
Shout out the Ice House. I became fans of my friends.
Yeah.
And that's the best feeling. So shout out my homie, Mikey McKernan.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he's fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
I love watching his stand-up. The homie Bombo. I don't think he does stand up anymore, but he was fucking hilarious as well. And they would do sets together, so they would just show up high in the fucking parking lot and then do a show together. Super hilarious.
There's
Yeah.
I did a show on a Sunday.
I need to see you so that I can add you to that list.
I'm waiting for that, man.
Okay, cool.
I want to get great. I want to make Bobby great again. MBGA, bro. Mga. Or make motion. Mga. So I did a show on a Sunday. Then a guy called me on Monday over Instagram and he goes, hey, my homeboy was with you last night and he can't open for me Wednesday.
Right.
He said you do it. I go, I don't even know his homeboy. I was like, yeah, sure, man. I'll do it.
Yeah.
So I go Wednesday.
No idea what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Whatever.
So I did 5 minutes on Sunday. I go Wednesday. The dude's like, hey, you can take anywhere between 10 and 15 minutes.
Nice.
I'm like my third time doing stand-up. I'm like, hey, do me a favor, dude. Give me the light at 10. I'll know 5 from there because I know my 5.
Yeah.
Nine, mind you, I used my 5 at the start of that 10.
Good job.
So I don't really know my 5, but give me the light. So then that Wednesday, they go, hey, bro, got a show for you tomorrow. So a different guy. Got a show for you tomorrow. Come down to this place.
Yeah.
All right. He'll go down there.
Are these paying gigs?
One was prime rib and $25. The other one was $50.
Done.
So first 10 days into comedy, made $75 and had a $40 dinner.
Booyah.
Bang!
Yeah, that's all winning. Right. Super win.
So then, I get invited to go hang out at the improv, but not due time.
Still.
Yeah. But
an invitation is an invitation.
Green room.
Yeah.
So kicking it with comics.
Nice.
I don't know if I should say. All right. Well, anyway, the headliner. If you watch Workaholics, you know the headliner.
Sure.
And kicking it in the green room, invited by the kind of the host. Like so the guy who did the 5 minute sets. Yeah. Sure. But there's this other comic there. His name is Craig Conan.
Sup, Craig.
Sup, Craig. Dude, that motherfucker me and him, we were making people cry in the green room. And so it's funny, I didn't know his set, but I they were like, how long have you been doing comedy? I was like, like a year. And they're like, you started in COVID? I'm like, oh, I don't count COVID. So like 6 months before, 6 months after. Nice. Like, okay, so I'm just lying.
Good save. Yeah.
And so him and I were talking about our sets. And I have this bit where I mentioned that I'm half white, half Mexican to get out there. Because most of my jokes are about being East LA.
Sure. It's your background.
Yeah. But then when people see me on stage, it comes across as fake. So right out, I come out, just kill it. And then he goes, oh, yeah, I'm half white, half Mexican, too. And but I don't say how I look about it. I say, I'm half white, I'm half Mexican. This happened. And he goes, my bit goes, I'm half white, I'm half Mexican. For some reason, I look like a fucking lesbian. I was like, and he kind of does.
That's funny.
But he's fucking hilarious, man. He's dived into this like a stoner character. And so I saw him that night. The headliner came out and he was crying. And he was like, I can't even start my shit because this motherfucker in the back had me crying. He was talking about us.
Yeah,
like,
right on.
Yeah.
That's a huge win.
I do got to make sure that I don't get obsessed with making comics laugh.
Why not?
Because they don't buy the tickets. You can't make jokes for the comics. You got to make jokes for the audience. The comics are fucking, that's a different. It's kind of a comedy pitfall.
Is it?
Yeah, that I've heard.
Oh. Okay. Well, fuck if I know. I don't know shit. I'm a rapper.
I'm going to go get a Spears. You want one?
Sure.
Yeah. Just hang tight, fellas. You know what, dude? I'm so used to wearing Bluetooth.
I'm leaving that on. You fucking just get his headphones on and walked out. What was that fucking movie where someone had their headphones on and they walked away and they just fucking like...
I feel like it was like Night at the Roxbury or something.
Oh, it was Night at the Roxbury. Yeah, it was Night at the Roxbury when Chris Kattan, he worked in the flower shop and he had the headset on. And then, he fucking walked away. He was at the front desk or some shit. And he walks away. And as he walks away, he like fucking gets clotheslined by the headset that he had plugged in. That's exactly what just happened.
Can I use this rag? Night of the Roxbury is one of my favorite movies. It's just that I'm so used to wearing Bluetooth headphones that I just walked away. And it's 2021. We still got cords. So what do you guys talk amongst yourself? What are you guys up to? I knew the show was going to be fun when we started. Anyways, nothing really spilled. It was kind of like a flawless victory.
I'm actually kind of surprised that, you know, you did like one of those like juggling acts where you tried to catch as many things as you possibly can, like fucking Spider-Man and Tobey Maguire. The only difference was you caught nothing.
Well, here's the problem.
Nothing was caught. You'd save
my headphone saved cord.
Nothing. Everything fell to the floor.
It's 8 foot long. That's my true. Arms are 2.5 feet long.
Yeah.
I got like a good distance away where I was ready to speed up because I didn't want to interrupt the show.
That's true.
And so right when I started to pick up pace, everything exploded.
Yeah.
You know?
In the best way possible.
In the best way possible.
Yeah.
Anyways, good material, bro. Great for the show.
That was great. So, we're talking about good material.
Yeah.
Nick Jr. is in the fucking news this week because they made themselves great material. And we're talking about fucking Blue's Clues.
Blue's Clues?
Blue's Clues, 25th anniversary. So, Blue's Clues, the original show on Nick Jr. Was debuted in 1996.
All right.
2021, we are celebrating the 25th anniversary of Blue's Clues.
Jesus Christ. And they're only on their second guy, right?
Third guy.
Oh, it's third guy? Okay.
Yeah, second guy didn't last very long. But the third guy is on right now.
Great. Anyways,
so we have three different hosts. But the reason why they're back in the news is we have Steve, who was the original host, if you will, of Blue's Clues. And there was a lot of discussion and... conversation and fucking what the fuck happened to Steve? Like one day he just fucking left the show.
Okay.
People were talking about like, oh, he became addicted to drugs, so they kicked him off the show.
Okay.
He allegedly went off to college. He fucking died. Yada, 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 yada.
Those are all excuses I get by my ex-wife.
Yeah, exactly. It works. And anyways, Nick Jr. came out with his 25th anniversary celebration, and Steve, he did a small little video talking to the kids of Blue's Clues.
Okay.
But the kids aren't kids anymore.
Okay.
So in 1996, kids were like, you know, 4 or 5 years old.
Sure.
And 25th anniversary.
So it's
29, they're fucking 30. Like 20s, yeah. Early 30s.
Yeah.
And they're all, it was a very heartfelt, sincere video.
Okay.
Where he's talking about, hey man, you know, we made it. You know, mm-hmm. we did a lot of stuff when we were younger and now we're older. You guys have families and school loans and kids and there's a lot of shit going on.
He's like, some of you guys sell me drugs.
And there was a lot of sincerity behind the video and a lot of the Blues Clues kids really were touched upon the video. Okay. And it went viral. So I was one of them. So for me, Blue's Clues, I watched Blue's Clues, the original Blue's Clues, with my little brother.
Okay.
My brother was born in 94.
Okay.
So when it debuted in 96, he was like 3, 4, mm-hmm. when he was like in full swing. And I would watch Blue's Clues with him. So naturally, I have a fondness for Blue's Clues. And then my son right now, he fucking loves Blue's Clues when he watches it. The original, not the new shit. And
wow, he very indie of you.
Yeah, he likes vinyl.
Very hipster of your fucking child.
Yeah, Milosaurus, he digs vinyl.
Okay.
It was heartfelt for me too, because although I didn't watch Blue's Clues by myself, yeah. I watched Blue's Clues with my little brother.
It was a bonding moment.
Yeah, so it was very, very sincere. It was very special. It was very cool to have Steve 25 years later still talking into the camera. Uh-huh. Talking to the kids, saying like, hey, you guys are doing great. Life can be hard.
I hope he got paid enough to do that.
I don't know, but it was cool. So again, it went viral.
And it's going to re-up Blue's Clues stocks.
And yeah, total Blue's Clues stock. And where I recently saw a Facebook post just today where someone was like, hey, a bunch of y'all 80s babies talking about Blue's Clues. Y'all are kind of weird, man. And I'm just like, you know, fuck, man.
Or how about you're narrow-minded?
How about you're just being a troll right now?
No. What?
And this person has been, they've done trolling things before. Like, they go to parties and they poop.
Yeah.
That's what they do.
Oh.
They're professional party poopers.
Every party has its pooper. Follow me. And this one was called...
I'm not going to go there.
Oh, Jesus.
But you can fill in your own name because everyone knows one.
Yeah.
And I was just like, bro, like, There was absolutely no need for any commentary of negativity where you're talking shit about people sharing their affinity for fucking Blue's Clues. Totally innocent program. Mm-hmm. Great children program. And people talking about their fondness for a great children's program when they grew up. And regardless of why you're sharing such viral videos, just... Do you have nothing nice to say?
Yeah, go, just shut the fuck up.
Shut the fuck up. It has nothing to do with you.
Yeah.
So why are you going to bring something up like that? And I just don't understand the mentality of people who can't appreciate someone else's enjoyment.
Well, here's what it is. One is, what he's trying to say is, you're too old to have enjoyed that.
Yeah.
Completely escaping from the thought that maybe someone bonded with someone over that, like you and your brother.
Yeah.
Here's the other thing. They're just a terrible contrarian. I love being a contrarian. Yeah. I try to consider myself, you know, not high level, but I'm pretty good at it.
Yeah, we could be stirring the pot pretty good.
That's low level contrary shit.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. You know, I've so often been that person.
The contrarian?
Yeah. Well, even like the shitty contrarian.
Okay.
I'm very conscious. I don't know how many times I delete just shit before I, you know. And then every once in a while, one or two slits through. And that's when usually I try. What I want to do sometimes, I just send it to you. And you go, hey, man, you all right? And I go, yeah, thanks. I'll consider that red. But yeah, man, that's just, you know, they got their own fucking...
Do you have any, not necessarily guilty pleasures, but I guess childhood affinities that I suppose would roll into a guilty pleasure?
I don't think that it would roll into... Here's one. My dad and my half-brother, I never call him, or step-brother, and that's not how I address him, but this is why the story's important. They had bonded on Three Amigos.
Oh, the Chevy Chase,
yeah,
Steve Martin,
and Martin Short.
Yep.
And then kind of let me in on it.
You're the third amigo in this equation?
I was like the fourth. Remember the Three Musketeers?
Yeah.
It was like the two of them were the three.
Yeah.
And then I was like the fourth.
Sure.
So anyways, but then I got into it with my little brother.
Okay.
And then my little brother and I got really close over Three Amigos.
Nice.
And then, but here's what's fucked up. Can't get Vinny into it. Can't fucking get him into it. It's a great movie. It's too old for him. Doesn't dig it. Looks like a fucking set. Yeah, but that's how they made movies before CGI. Speaking of which, when we're ready, I have a segue, okay?
Cool.
When we're ready.
Ready.
We're ready? Are we over this topic?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I can't think of one that would make me, that would be like a guilty, like Blue's Clues isn't a guilty play. I watched Barney, but I fucking hated it the whole time. With my little sister for 10. Oh, here's one. I was probably, okay, I don't know if I ever said this out loud. Here in middle school, right? Sixth, seventh grade.
We're uncovering new layers.
And
let's peel back this blooming onion.
I would wake up stupid early to watch Bananas in Pajamas.
Wow.
Way too old to watch them.
Bananas.
You know the pajamas. Fucking song.
Oh, yeah, my brother used to watch that too.
And I don't understand how neither of them slipped down the stairs.
Naturally.
You're a banana, and those are stairs. Every other cartoon I've ever watched. But
that's so funny. I never thought of that before.
That's how they came down, remember?
Yeah, they would run down the stairs. But you would think, as bananas, you would be a little bit more careful as to not slip.
I would wake up, watch a half hour of Bananas Pajamas, and then be like, what am I going to do for the next hour before school? Like, it was stupid early.
Yeah.
Which also didn't make sense because, like, what kids are, I don't know. I guess it's for kids that do have to wake up early, or parents that wake up early and then they're getting ready. They could veg their kids out in front of them. I don't know. But I was like, I remember being like the sixth grade, like, I should not be watching this.
Yeah.
You know, but I was.
I can't remember anything that comes out in particular. I mean, I was never like, I never felt guilty about shit like that.
Yeah.
Even growing up.
I don't think we've done anything that wrong.
Not even that wrong, but like, I mean, people give me a lot of shit for my love for Disney.
Do they?
Yeah, they give me shit all the time. Like, you haven't outgrown that yet? Like, no, like.
Keeps getting better.
Yeah, and here's another thing too.
Oh, second set wave, same thing, go. Sorry.
And just final point. Everyone starts out as a child. Some people make the mistake of growing up. Let that sink in, bitches.
Yeah.
Everyone starts out as a child, but some people make the mistake of growing up. I like to believe I have not made that mistake.
Yeah.
As I look at the fucking 3D puzzle of a Death Star hovering above you.
In your house that you purchased.
Exactly.
So, you're killing it, bro.
Thank you.
Segways.
Go ahead.
Disney keeps getting better. They fucked up.
Oh, The Good Dinosaur was awful.
Then they fucked up twice.
Okay, cool.
I just saw the worst movie I've ever seen in my life.
Ryan and the Last Dragon.
Jungle Cruise.
Oh, I haven't seen it yet.
It's so distractingly bad.
They just greenlit the sequel. So they're going to do it again. I haven't seen it because, you know, you got to pay extra on Premiere access of Disney Plus and no.
Well, we went to the drive-in and I was so mad that I knew I couldn't throw from where I was to hit the screen. I was like, it's going to come up short and hit that Bronco. You know what I mean? But here's the thing. Here's the thing.
No spoilers. I haven't seen it yet.
No spoilers. No spoilers. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just going to talk about the way it looks.
Fuck up my Disney movie, bro.
No, I'm not.
Okay, cool.
No spoiler. Actually, there is one spoiler, but I won't say it. Get it, girl. I hope you spill sometime today.
Maybe.
Again, man, 8-foot cord. Hey, how come at no point you went, your headphones.
I was looking at the time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Two things. Yep. One, it is the worst rock performance I've ever seen. Not that he's an Academy Award winner.
Yeah.
There's three things, actually. Okay. The Rock did fucking astonishingly terrible in it.
Got it.
They made him wear this dumb fucking hat the whole time.
Yeah.
His head's way too big for that. They just didn't do the math.
Sure.
Two, halfway into the movie, I would go, when the fuck does Kevin Hart show up? Spoiler alert, he doesn't. It's no Kevin Hart. It's The Rock without Kevin Hart and no race cars. If you don't have the Kevin Hart next to The Rock, there better be a fucking muscle car. Third thing.
Okay.
They got so obsessed with CGI. It's in it, I was grateful that Pirates of the Caribbean came out when it did. Because they went to the Caribbean. No, it's Pirates of the Caribbean, but they went to the Caribbean.
Yeah.
And made the movie.
True.
And it was legit.
Yeah.
This movie, it's like they went backwards.
They saw no jungles.
It looks bad. Aesthetically.
A bad CGI jungle.
It just looks bad. And they're never really looking the right way, you know? Like, it's like,
fuck. Look at that snake over your right shoulder and they look left.
I'll never forget the scene. When, not that far off.
Okay, cool.
But I'll never forget the scene in Pretty Woman where she's on the balcony and he's talking to her.
Sure.
And it's clearly 0 feet off the ground and like a cardboard wall with fake stucco rocks spray painted.
That's fun.
Yeah.
And oh, Hollywood.
And you're just looking at it. But back then in that place, people knew movies were made on sets.
Yeah.
This is part of the formula. We're going to escape reality for a minute.
Yeah.
They could have made this movie, I don't know, Lake Paris or something.
Soundstage or
so
something.
Much fucking better
yeah.
than this CGI. It's I'm telling you, they went steps back. It was like watching Lion King.
Yeah.
You know, which was would have been better if they just made the whole fucking thing a cartoon.
Yeah. Wait, they could make it a cartoon?
Oh, think whatever it is, whatever that CGI, the original shit is.
Yeah, that's pretty
But this
stupid.
Like halfway life thing that they're doing, it just, the cameras that they use for the new sports, I don't know if you've seen it, they make sports look like video games now.
That's fun.
Like if you see them fighting or everything, like they kind of do the Apple thing where it's like the focus is, and everything else is just barely blurred. It looks like a video game. Got it. They're doing that in real life sports now.
Interesting.
They could have did that and it would look better.
Interesting.
But it was just like so fucking bad. Yeah. It was, I felt. Yeah,
when you have an over-reliance of CGI, then it gets bad. If you use CGI as a tool to help complement the film,
yeah,
then it's great.
The story fucking sucked too, by the way. Sorry.
Well, you know. Well, yeah. I don't expect a good story. I just want, you know, a good time. Good popcorn.
I don't know. But I just couldn't. I was like.
So was it Haunted Mansion bad or?
I never saw that one.
Oh, don't do it.
That one's bad, huh?
Oh, it was God awful.
To me, Eddie I love Murphy. Eddie Murphy, but when at that, I think post 06 Eddie Murphy is just like, he's just paying after, for his kids now.
After Dr. Dolittle, it was all bad.
Yeah.
He had one good family movie and they were trying to replicate Dr. Dolittle over and over.
Favorite part about Dr. Dolittle? No, my bad. Wrong one. I was thinking of, what's the one with Dave Chappelle? Where he's big, then little, then big, then little, then big, then little.
But Dave Chappelle.
Yeah. Remember when Eddie Murphy's big, then little, then big, what's the?
The Crumps?
No.
Nanny Professor?
Yeah. Okay. Dave Chappelle's a bad comic in that one, remember?
I remember that.
Yeah, he's the one who's like making fun of him when he's all big and it hurts his feeling and leaves.
Oh, was it?
Was it Vivica Fox?
Yeah.
It was, right?
I think it was.
And then he comes back skinny and he gets on stage and like roasts him.
Yeah.
That was Dave Chappelle.
Interesting. I did not recall that. Okay, well, I got one more topic before we tip out. We got some you-know-whats, too.
Cool.
But next topic I wanted to do, we wanted to cover it last week, actually. Shouldn't take too long. Love letters are banned in Oregon.
What?
You can no longer write to your love.
Are you serious?
No, that's not a love letter. Love letters are a tool that you use when purchasing a house.
Okay.
So when you purchase a house, you are purchasing it usually from a private buyer.
Okay.
So say I live in this house. I'm going to sell it.
Yeah.
And we have a plethora of people that are putting in their applications and please pick me.
Yep.
A common practice is to write a letter from you to the homeowner.
Like a letter of intent.
Yes. Hey.
I'm a family.
I wrote one of those letters.
Okay.
And I was like, hey, we're a family. We're just starting out. We're looking for our home that we want to build a family in and, you know, have holidays in. And we want to build this home and love it. And
crazy perspective on
blah,
that.
Blah, blah, blah.
Imagine they read your letter knowing what was wrong with the house and they're like, this guy's a sucker.
That's probably what they did.
You know what I mean, in perspective.
Yeah.
Well, hindsight.
Hindsight, yeah.
But sorry, go on with the story.
Probably what they did. But anyways, so in Oregon, they've decided to ban this practice. You are no longer allowed to write a love letter to a homeowner if you're trying to purchase a home. The practice has been viewed as potentially discriminatory towards those who don't have families, to those who may be of a different ethnicity, those who may be of a different background, culture, so on and so forth. Because in those letters, you could be revealing who you are, what kind of job you have, what's your last name, and all that stuff.
Uh-huh.
And it could be very indicative of who you are.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, I don't want fucking
Mexican if you're a Johnson
or
a Sanchez. And they don't
or
if you're two female names, hey, this is Rebecca and Janine, and you know, as a couple, we
exactly. So because it can be viewed as discriminatory, they want to remove the practice, and I'm on the fence because I did use it to buy this house. And as a homeowner, if I were to sell this house, I would like to see such letters,
the story.
And with that, I'd be like, okay, yeah, this person just wants to buy a property and this person is looking for an actual home.
And also, you could be intelligent enough to not offer those details while providing your story.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, well, I mean, I could be a good fucking human and not let discriminatory things weigh that option.
And let's also talk about the state that's doing it. Oregon is supposed to be so fucking progressive.
Yeah, supposed to be.
So now, is there a separation between state and people going on there now? Where people are like, we're not as progressive as the state. And the state's saying, they're like pulling them along. No, you're going to be as progressive as us. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Is there, there's some sort of disconnect
that
there?
That sounds like California, actually.
That the people are more or less progressive than the state?
Because
what I'm saying is, like, you would think in Oregon.
Me off on that one, but good job.
If you're a homeowner in Oregon,
right?
We all expect Oregonians.
Sure.
Oregon. You ever seen that movie? Sense of Woman. Great movie.
Oh yeah, yeah. Al Pacino.
Suspend belief. What
a great ass.
And yeah. He's blind.
Yeah, yeah. It's funny.
All right. So, Oregon. Anyways. You would expect Oregonians to not care about these things.
Yep.
And the more you put it on paper, the more you make it fucked up.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like Voltaire used to always say, the minute that you make freedom of speech a law, you allow attorneys and politicians to say freedom of speech does not mean this, this, and this.
Yeah.
If you don't fucking say anything, everybody already has freedom of speech.
That's true.
So it's like, it's almost like the state is trying to say they're creating protected classes that really were protected just by nature.
Yeah.
You know? And I would expect Oregonians to be, by from what we hear, but also, you know, mainstream media was really wrong about the Taliban. I would expect them to be progressive enough. Didn't you think the Taliban was a bunch of, like, fucking rock-chucking, like, loser farmers?
I think that's what they per-
they were they portrayed, portrayed as, right? As.
Yeah, portrayed. Yeah.
Now they're flying our fucking choppers that guys go to school for 6 years to learn to fly.
Oh, they're not flying that shit.
Who's hanging the fucking people from? Anyways, let's just stick with Oregon.
Okay.
But now you're writing some shit down that, like, again, now people maybe will be like, you know what? We'll turn it into a rental.
Yeah.
Because we did want to give it to a family, but now we don't know who the fuck we're giving it to.
Yeah, yeah.
Or how about this? Now, instead of a love letter, you're forcing me to meet people. Now,
interview them?
Now my hidden, what I didn't even know was a bias.
Right.
A silent bias is now come to rise.
Yeah.
You know, you write... fuck, I don't want to get us canceled already.
Too late.
I know.
That happened in episode one.
Did it?
Yeah.
When I was like, fuck Kanye.
We're talking about plastic bags being banned. That was one of our first episodes.
What?
The plastic bag ban. Damn, 2016. That was a hell of a time.
Yeah, man. Life.
So much easier back then.
Wow, bro. I remember an episode where we were just like, 2 weeks, shut it down for 2 weeks.
Holy fuck, COVID 2016? Will go away. This will be our fifth year.
5 years, bro?
5 years doing this show?
Oh, my God.
No way.
Jesus, dude.
Yeah, it is. Fuck.
We've been through so many venues.
That's a lot of shit. 5 years.
So what I was saying, silent bias.
Got a party.
Like, pretend. Oh, here. I know how to phrase this safely.
Yeah.
There is a obvious tension between light-skinned and dark-skinned African-Americans.
I've heard of this, yes. Okay,
it's a real thing.
Sure.
Now, pretend a dark-skinned family, let's call them the Cosbys, has this beautiful house.
Sure.
That was owned by a doctor.
Yep.
And no rape. Just a house with the doctor. And they go, we're going to sell this house.
Got it.
And then an obviously African-American name and family applies for the house. And they send the love letter in.
Yep.
Like, hey, I'm an up-and-coming doctor. I mean, this doctor now is a millionaire.
Yeah.
The Cosby. And he's like looking for his mansion. And this guy goes, oh, I practice cardiology, blah, 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 but I'm working so much. I just got a medical school. I'm making great money, but my DTI is so fucked up. There's no, you know, because my student loans. And I just want, my wife's pregnant. We just need a nice little starter home. Right. And he goes, oh my God, I would love to give this African-American family sure. the house.
Yep.
Can't do the love letter no more.
Yep.
Same family shows up.
Yep.
And he goes, man, fuck them light skins. They ain't getting this house.
Yep.
Now we got to find a dark skin. Did I do it gently? I felt like I did it gently. It's a real thing.
Yeah, I know it's a real thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? Like, now you're forcing silent...
biases.
Your biases, yeah. And you know, shitty... Biases, I guess. We'll just go with that.
Yeah.
You know, upon people. Whereas before, it's just kind of like... There was a way to, it was kind of, it's to me, a letter's anonymous, even though I can put my name and everything on it.
Yeah.
It's still, and also, you know what? I'm confident in my writing. So.
And the other thing too is, I here's where I'm conflicted because I do want to make sure it's a level playing field and there's certain attributes that should be able to be judged upon towards a home purchase.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I feel that these human connections opportunities for human connections should be, you know, welcome and engaged and so on and so forth. And, you know, I like the idea of writing a letter, receiving a letter, just the act of trying to communicate human to human, I think is very meaningful.
Yeah.
So to have that eliminated and make the home purchase just a home purchase, it's a little bit more dry than it could be or should be. But then again, it is a purchase and it's a transaction. If you have the money, you got it. If you don't have the money, you don't got it. I mean, well,
but God, it gets deeper.
See, that's what I'm saying. It was a really good topic.
It does. You know, there's this big tinfoil hat on about how many like Chinese investors are buying property.
Okay.
And if there's people who are against that, like, you now have inhibited them from finding out. Is okay. Fuck Chinese investors. I'm sorry.
Okay.
How about foreign and domestic?
Foreign and domestic.
What if I know I want to sell my house to someone who's going to live in it, enjoy it, and raise, whatever, like you said, raise a family.
Right.
Now I can no longer differentiate between a foreign investor who's going to turn into an Airbnb.
Yep.
Or a family who's going to grow up in it. Yep. And here's the other thing. Fuck the future. I currently care about my neighbors.
Yep.
I want my neighbors to have a good neighbor.
Yep.
Now, if you turn this shit into an Airbnb, they're not going to have a good neighbor. You're going to have partiers, destroyer. You're going to have random cars, random people.
Yeah. Oregon. So you've met my neighbors.
In Oregon.
Minus the Airbnb part.
You're going to have prostitutes, right? Because that's legal.
Right.
You're going to have drugs because that's legal.
That sounds like a great time. We're going to Oregon.
Yeah. Next podcast. Next live podcast. Coming from Oregon.
Yeah. That's all I got. So you got any, you know what?
I'm not sure if I do. Oh, you know what?
What?
I heard Cuomo is running for governor of Kabul.
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 Why?
Just because he's a sexist, and that's not really a good place for women anymore.
I guess
that's all I got. Okay. Sorry. That was the one line.
That works. Hey, you know what?
What's that, my man?
I've discovered that hotels serve two purposes.
Okay.
Travelers and sin. If you're staying in a hotel, you're doing one of those two things.
Maybe. I've picked up intoxicated friends and dropped them off at a hotel and bailed.
That sounds very sinful.
Same respect. No, I bailed. Like,
no, for them.
But I was going to say, in the same respect, I've picked up intoxicated friends, fucked them in a hotel, and then bailed too.
That's great sin.
Yeah. That's not sin.
Sin isn't always bad.
Yeah.
I mean, it's supposed to be, but hey, man, no one told me sin was going to be this much fun.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah. I don't know what the real is, what the world is about. That
shout out my penguin laugh right now. I sound penguin like a laugh. Motherfucking penguin.
That's what's up. Did I already do the two divorce things?
Mm-hmm.
Both me? Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if I got any more. You know what, bro?
Right on, man.
You got another one?
No.
You know what?
What?
The most shallow thing about me, in the poetry world. Was that, well, one, I had to have the baddest lyrics, but I also had to have the baddest bitch.
Nice.
But two, now I'm getting into the comedy world. Mm-hmm. Step my level up on my bitch game, bro.
Hey, what up, bitches?
Because the weak-ass comics got some pretty bad bitches. In the poetry world, you got to be a badass poet.
Yeah.
So, you know.
So the comics is like just fish in a barrel, huh?
Stepping it up.
That's what's up.
Want to have sex?
Sure. As always, want to thank you all for joining us here in Pound Town. But before we go, we want to remind you to subscribe and leave us a 5-star review on iTunes or wherever you're listening to help the show grow. Get on the conversations by liking our Facebook page and following us on Instagram at Social Nuisance Podcast. And if you really support all that we do, drop a dollar in our Venmo at Social Nuisance. And lastly, don't forget there is power in numbers, and together we can be a nuisance towards the betterment of humanity.
Yo.
My name's Imagine, and that's the Main Man Motion, and we'll see y'all next week on the Social Nuisance Podcast.
Before we kill it, I think we just got a deposit on our Venmo.
Yeah, we got to confirm that.
It's a big one.
Yeah, I know.
So I got to shout out Gadget.
What up, yo? What up, yo?
Shout out to Gadget.
Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba.